Well, good morning, everyone. Apart from the confusion, we're all here, and you're very welcome on the second Sunday after Trinity. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you.
And also with you.
Jesus called the disciples and gave them a job, gave them authority to carry it out, took them out of their comfort zone. Lord God, we are here today as a fellowship, a worshipping, serving community. We are not on our own. Your Holy Spirit is with us. As we gather here, make us ready to follow you, stepping out in faith, going wherever you lead us. Amen.
Amen.
You call us out of darkness to live in your marvelous light. Let us say sorry to God for all the times we have failed to live in the light of Christ. Lord, sometimes we cling tightly to familiar things, too frightened to listen to your call to move forward, to trust that you will give us the strength we need. Forgive
Forgive us
us and
and
help
help
us
us
to
to
trust
trust
you
you
more.
more.
Amen.
Amen.
The God who cared for the lost sheep of Israel cares for us and will pick us up from our wretchedness and bring us back into his loving arms. The God who encourages us to step out in faith longs for us to take the risk of trusting him with our lives. We go forth knowing we are cleansed from all our sin, ready to start anew in his marvelous life.
Amen.
Amen. And Jean has got our first reading for us.
This reading is taken from Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And as we boast in the hope of glory of God, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know the sufferings produce perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we're still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, anyone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this way. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks
Thanks
be
be
to
to
God.
God. And our psalm this morning, our verse is taken from Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Glory
Glory
to
to the
the Father,
Father,
and
and
to
to
the
the Son,
Son,
and
and
to
to
the
the Holy
Holy Spirit,
Spirit,
as
as
it
it
was
was
in
in
the
the beginning,
beginning,
is now,
now,
and
and
shall be
be
forever.
forever.
Amen.
Amen. This reading is taken from Matthew chapter 9, beginning to read at verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey, or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greetings. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town, shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Most people of any faith or none found it very uncomfortable looking back at the news footage of the murder of Henry Novak last December. In a statement issued on Monday on behalf of the United Reformed Church, Catriona Wheeler, moderator of the URC General Assembly, offered condolences to Henry's family after their tragic loss and assurance of solidarity with our neighbouring Sikh communities in the face of the unjust reactions and unrest that followed. Catriona urged in her statement, "As Christians, we hear Christ's command to love our neighbours as ourselves. That love is not a vague sentiment. It requires us to speak when others are silenced, to stand alongside those who are made to feel fearful, and to confront injustice whenever and wherever it appears." When US Vice President J.D. Vance blamed the death of Henry Novak on the, and I quote, "mass invasion of migrants," and believed that the only response was to react with righteous anger, I found it reassuring to hear David Lammy trying to set the record straight in standing up to Vance's caricature. "We are reminded that Novak's own family had called for calm following the sentencing of Vikram Digwa." Henry's father also urged in his statement, "We do not want Henry's death to be used to create further division, hatred, or tension." The injustice of Henry's murder, alongside the disturbing nature of how the incident was dealt with in the moment, and the disturbingly aggressive reaction towards our Sikh brothers and sisters, are all reminders that Christ's commandment to love our neighbour will take us way beyond our comfort zones. We are called to stand alongside those who are unfairly persecuted, as it says in Matthew 10, verse 16, like sheep in the midst of wolves. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 reminds us that Jesus had compassion for the crowds of people where they were harassed or helpless. He recognized their need for responsible leadership, for good shepherding. Comfort zones. I think it's a comparatively new phrase. I think if I'd used it as a child, I'm pretty sure my parents wouldn't have known what I was going on about. And yet, our comfort zones are ones that we can relate to. What does your comfort zone look or feel like? For each of us, our comfort zone will be different. A safe space where we feel most at home and most truly ourselves. And even if we couldn't describe our comfort zones, we certainly know what it feels like when we are forced out of it. Life is full of challenges and new experiences. That's just normal. But sometimes we are called upon to do something special, something different, something that God wants us to do. When Jesus lived in Galilee, he knew he had come to usher in the kingdom of heaven, God's new way of being, where people learnt to relate to him as father and friend. For Jesus, this meant stepping out of heaven and entering all the mess, the joy, and the pains of living on earth. I wonder if Jesus felt out of his comfort zone as a child or as a young man. But Jesus had a mission to accomplish, and so he set about it with passion. He went and chose others to join that mission with him, proclaiming, "The kingdom of heaven has come near." Today's passage offers us three images of Jesus. First of all, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and every sickness. Jesus travelled. Actually, it reminds me of what we do here in the X Valley Mission Community, go from village to village. Jesus kept moving. He didn't get stuck in one place. But everywhere he went, he taught, he preached, and he healed. Secondly, because Jesus travelled around, he knew what the people were like, and it wasn't good. The people were lost, and Jesus can see how lost they are. He knew it. Jesus responds to what he can see. He doesn't get angry, nor does he express exasperation, which in some ways he could be justified in doing. After all, they were God's people. They've had the law and the prophets. They are supposed to know the way. But rather, Jesus is full of compassion. He sees the people as though they were sheep without a shepherd, as victims, as harassed and cast down, and Jesus wants to help. I think this is a clear model as we go about our daily lives. We need to tell people the good news of Jesus, to be prepared to proclaim the truth we know, and to offer to pray for healing, comfort, and wholeness. There is so much sadness and injustice all around us. We need to seek to be compassionate, seeing people as Jesus saw them, with love, mercy, and kindness. The word shepherd appears a lot in Matthew. Often the use of the word shepherd is used to explain last times or end times, the shepherd being a picture of a judge. Indeed, in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus acts like a shepherd who separates the sheep from the goats. Later in chapter 26, Jesus is the shepherd as described by the prophet Zechariah, in which the prophet says, "Strike down the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." Jesus can see that God's people are without a true shepherd, and he, Jesus, the Messiah, has come to fulfill this role. He will shepherd God's people. Of course, there are implications for the Jewish leadership in all of this. If Jesus has seen that God's people are shepherdless, then it is clear that the scribes and the Pharisees, the supposed religious experts who hold positions of power and authority, have not been doing their jobs properly or taking their responsibilities seriously. They are the cause of the people's downfall. Even worse, they have not just been negligent as shepherds, they've acted like wolves and caused hurt and harm. We need to pray for our leaders and all who hold positions of power and authority. It seems to me it's one thing to be negligent and quite another to do harm. And we all know of stories, sadly, within the church where leaders have caused harm and distress, which has trickled down the generations and through communities. It's something I think about a lot. Jesus' warning to leaders, even little leaders like me: if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. It's a salutary lesson. Thirdly, Jesus spoke to his disciples. He explained to them the situation and told them what they must do. The task Jesus gives his disciples to do are rooted in Jesus' compassion for the multitude, his love for the people, and result from the need for the ministry of teaching, preaching, and healing. This work needs to be carried out by more than one person alone. Jesus says to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." In this instant, harvest is a metaphor, a picture for mission. Jesus' disciples are given a new role. They are harvesters. They have a mission. It starts with the 12 disciples, and incredibly, it moves on to us. We too have been called to bring in the harvest, and it's not an easy job. Jesus told his disciples to cure the sick, to raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. I don't know how the disciples felt about this, but I reckon they must have had some butterflies in their stomachs, even though Jesus said that he had given them his authority. And there is no greater power and authority than that of God and the name of Jesus. Jesus didn't ask his disciples and doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't equipped us for. He trusted them, and he trusts us to follow his example and his instructions and to go in his name. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. But notice, Jesus does not weep and grieve, but he asks for prayer. This is what he says: "Pray then, the Lord of the harvest, to send out laborers into his harvest." This is another example we can learn from. You see, when we are faced with situations of crisis or challenge, Our faith should respond by turning to God and praying to Him, just like Jesus did. In commissioning His disciples, Jesus sets out His understanding of mission in a section of teaching. For the moment, He limits His disciples' work to the Jews, identifying them again as lost sheep. This restriction lifts after the resurrection, and the disciples are instructed to make disciples of all nations. They announce good news that the kingdom of heaven is near, as Jesus has taught them to pray. This is shown by the healing that the disciples can now offer, a proof of the presence of God. Jesus commands his disciples emphatically to cure, raise, cleanse, cast out. And verse 20 makes it clear that this happens through the Holy Spirit at work in them, a freely given gift. This is why Jesus tells them that they may not accept any money for their work. They must honor the generosity of God. So, how does today's gospel passage encourage us to go beyond our comfort zone in order to ensure that further division, hatred, or tension do not happen, and that peace, wholeness, healing, and the kingdom of God is brought near? At the very least, as followers of Jesus, we should consider how we react to those who scaremonger and stir up hatred in times of such emotional turmoil. At such times, it might well feel that in taking a stand for justice, we are being sent out like sheep among wolves. But we are reminded that the same verse continues with Jesus' call for his disciples to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Jesus' teaching to his followers, I think, is about facing up to the questions that frighten us out of our wits. How much of the struggles we see in our lives and the world today are about the human race not being able to face up to the truth? In those times when humanity behaves like sheep without a shepherd, does the truth frighten us? And are we prepared to point people to the shepherd we know and love? The truth about those who are different from us has always scared the narrow-minded. But what about the big God question? Sometimes I think it's easier to stay in my comfort zone. Sometimes I think it's easier not to ask God what he wants me to do, because the answer just might challenge and change me. Amen.
Amen. Now move into the intercessions. Lord, even when it seems really hard, lead us forward, lead us outward, lead us on. Lord Jesus, as we come to you in the quietness, we pause to think of all the signs of your presence with us this week. The smile of a stranger, the taste of a summer fruit, or some comforting words from a friend. Sometimes we are so focused on how hard life can be and how difficult our calling as disciples seems that we forget to praise and thank you for all the large and small signs of your presence. So now, in the stillness, we take this time. Lord, even when it seems really hard, lead
Lead
us
us forward,
forward.
lead
Lead
us
us
outward,
outward,
lead
lead
us
us
on.
on. Lord, we rejoice that you have called us to be your followers. And more than followers, we are your friends. But we know that with that joy comes responsibility to take our love into everyday lives and be witnesses for you whenever you send, wherever you send us. So we think of those places now and commit them to you. First, we focus on our homes. Lord, sometimes it's hard to be your follower at home than outside. It's at home that we are so often our worst selves. Forgive us for times when we are grumpy, angry, unhelpful, or unkind to those we live with. Help us to share our love for you with those around us, being people of gentleness and kindness. May your spirit enable us to be peacemakers and faithful carers for all those who live amongst us, both in our homes and in our neighborhoods. Lord, even when it seems really hard, lead us forward, lead us outward, lead us on. Lord, we turn now to our lives outside the home. Lord Jesus, you know that these can sometimes be the hardest places to witness to you. What will our friends, colleagues, or even the people we meet think of us if we admit to being followers of you? Lord, give us the courage to tell just one person this week about you. We could say where we were on Sunday, offer to pray for them, or just be bubbling over with joy that we have to tell someone. We imagine ourselves in that place now and ask you to show us one person that we could encourage with the good news of your love this week. Lord, even when it seems really hard, lead us forward, lead us outward, lead us on. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling at this time and can't see a way forward in their life. Pray for those who are sick. We pray for Steph, Jacques, Mary, Derek, Jemima, Anne, Brenda, Joy, Tony, Brian, Nigel, Audrey, John, Richard, Kathy, Bob, Oliver, Mary, Ron, Mary, Margaret, Colin, Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, Tiverton Hospital. Those who have just had a difficult diagnosis, those who are anxious or depressed, those whose lives are coming to an end. We pray for those who struggle with addiction or who live in fear. Lord, show us how to be a light to them in darkness in their current situation. May we be people who listen, hold people's hands, and care. Lord, even when it seems really hard, lead us forward, lead us outward, lead us on. Lord, as we leave this place of worship today, remind us of something wonderful we have learnt about you. Send us out with a renewed desire to tell others about you, knowing that you go before us and will give us the words to say. Lord, even when it seems really hard, lead us forward, lead us outward, lead us on. Amen. The Collect for the second Sunday after Trinity. Faithful Creator, whose mercy never fails, deepen our faithfulness to you and to your living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now we say together the Lord's Prayer, trusting in the compassion of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
May God, who loves you and has chosen you, strengthen you to live as God's holy people, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you and those you love and pray for, this day and always. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, you send us out in your name. You give us your authority. You give us your power. Give us the courage to go where you send us, to go ahead, to lead and guide, follow behind, to encourage and help. Lord, you send us out, and we choose to go. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jean.
Welcome.
Thank you
Thank
to
you,
all
Nicola.
the assembled Jills this morning.
Thank
And
you,
I hope you have a good
guys.
day.
Yes, and you.
And
And
you. Thank you, Jane.
I won't see you next week because I'm on a school reunion.
Oh, how
Oh,
lovely.
oh,
Enjoy
wow.
that.
Yeah,
Wonderful.
50 years since we took our A levels.
Oh, wow. Oh,
Wow.
wow.
That hot summer of
Wonderful.
76.
My word.
So anyway,
That was a hot
that's the
summer. I thought
excuse why we didn't do very well.
wonderful. You are so young.
Anyway,
Have a wonderful time, sir.
thank you. I think it will be interesting.
I'm sure it will. Sure it
Yeah.
will.
Anyway, love to you all. And Andrew's leading next week with Dawn. I don't know.
With Sue, I think.
With
Oh,
me.
Sue. Yes.
Thank you.
Brilliant. I shall listen in later. Anyway, thank you,
Thank
everybody. Have a very good week.
you.
And
Jackie,
you.
I hope everybody
Bye.
be
Bye.
blessed.
Yes, I hope
Hope
Jackie
you feel
and
better,
Andrew are too.
Jackie.
Have
Yeah.
a good week, everyone.
Me too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.